Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Are you ready?
Ben Standings with us every Monday morning at 8 a.m. Ben writes for The Athletic, as all of you know. I would suggest you subscribe to it and read Ben's latest, which I have not gotten to, but you told me that it's out there and I'm a part of it from some interview 2 years ago, it would seem like at this point. But I'm glad you finally got the story about the name done. We'll talk about that, but I do want to talk about minicamp. And this thought that I guess Ron Rivera put into people's heads with his compliments of Taylor Heinicke, with his discussion that there will be a quarterback competition, and now Brendan just told me during the break that NBC Sports Washington, I think Pete Haley wrote a story talking about how great Taylor Heinicke was last week. What's the story, Brendan? What's it titled? Oh, here it is. What to make of Taylor Heinicke's strong mini camp for WFT? I'll answer that. Nothing on a mini camp. I'll start by asking you, do you take Ron Rivera seriously that there's going to be like a legitimate quarterback competition, may the best man win this summer or not?
I mean, I guess I take it seriously from the pure standpoint of, if somebody was demonstrably ahead of the other people, that Ron Rivera, because look, they don't have an Aaron Rodgers or a Tom Brady, that into that respect, he would be open to whoever the best person for that job is. However, I don't believe it's going to come to a position where that will actually happen, because in order, it's just sort of like, at least back in the day when boxing, when you like, in order, if the champion of the, whoever the champ was entering a fight, you actually had to beat them. A draw would go to the person, right? So Taylor Heinicke or Kyle Allen or whatever would have to really, really knock out Ryan Fitzpatrick, and I don't see that happening. But to the larger point, you know, Ryan, we all talk about the money. Look, Ryan Fitzpatrick got the 1 year, $10 million, and the other two guys combined will make like, you know, $2 or $3 million this year. That can't be ignored either. Plus all the experience. I'm not personally weighing too much into this. I've been saying forever that it's Ryan Fitzpatrick will be the starting quarterback. And yes, Taylor Heinicke, I thought, did some good things out there. And Ryan Fitzpatrick had some, you know, some sort of wayward throws. He was also the one facing the first team defense. Chase Young was on the field when Ryan Fitzpatrick was on the field, as was,
that's
William Jackson.
Is that relevant?
Right. Yeah, as along with William Jackson and Jamin Davis and everybody else. Whereas the other quarterbacks were large, you know, again, everything was being mixed and matched, but by and large, they were facing the backups and the rookies. So, yeah, you have to factor in all of that as well.
You know, I'm just reading as you're talking. By the way, Pete, if you're listening, I do love you, and I love JP, and I love the job you guys do. And it's a good story to generate some attention. But Pete writes in his story, that Fitzpatrick, you know, was extremely accurate. Fitzpatrick has the inside path to the starting job. Heinicke's going to make him earn it, though, like really earn it. Heinicke's accurate, extremely comfortable with what Turner once accomplished, and a tremendous improviser. His durability is concerning, but the rest of his skill set is notable. His durability is not concerning, it's alarming. Because it seems like it's about 100% chance based on his previous starts that he will get hurt in the game. I would also suggest that in terms of his accuracy, you know, he started one game, he played in the second half of another game and basically barely barely completed 60% of his passes, which would put him, you know, basically in terms of completion percentage at like 33rd in the league last year. So he's not extremely accurate. He's not, you know, his accuracy isn't, I actually think he floats a lot of balls. I think he throws a very catchable ball based on this very limited five-quarter snapshot. I think he throws a very catchable ball, and I do like him as an improviser. I think that that's probably his strength. And he improvises always with eyes down the field trying to make a throw, with running being the second thing. But I think a lot of balls sail on him. In fact, I would be concerned more about his overall consistency with respect to accuracy. But that's just me.
Just to add on to that, I mean, the two things that would make me, if you're a Heineke fan or you're interested in the competition, the two things that would sort of stand out to me. One, when we spoke to the assistant coaches and Ken Zampezi, the quarterback coach, was asked, what's the thing for Heineke, right? What's the step? I mean, some people think he can be a guy. What's the step? And he gave a one-word answer, health, which is obviously, right, as you said, an alarming concern. But the fact that that was the answer, it wasn't, well, he has to do a better job of reading defenses down the field or getting in and out of the huddle. No, it was just healthy.
It's such an obvious number one. It's such an obvious. When you're 100% on playing and getting hurt, that's your obvious number one concern. Can the guy even stay on the field? I don't think it means that they don't have other concerns. I would suggest this to you, and I want to know if you agree or not. I think if Kyle Allen goes into camp healthy, he's got a better chance of becoming the number two than Heineke.
So I think that, to me, is the more interesting conversation. And I would have probably said, put Kyle Allen in the front of that discussion, a few weeks ago, based on what we've seen here. And again, I'm not taking anything I saw at these mini camps as being something overly dramatic, but I might put Heineke in the lead right now. But it's a really interesting debate. Ron Rivera, as we've discussed 100 times, he went out of his way over and over again to praise Kyle Allen. But I'm just saying, at the same time, Heineke, you know, there's if you listen to what they're saying or read between the lines, you know, they clearly are a fan of him as well. And you mentioned the improvising, things like that. To me, that one is a really fascinating one. I would probably go Heineke, you know, 55-45 right now as the QB2, but absolutely would not stun me at all if it is Kyle Allen, for all the reasons, we just said now and before.
Yeah, I think the biggest issue is whether or not Kyle Allen's really all the way back and ready to play in an NFL game by the time, you know, they start training camp and start thinking towards the regular season. We are talking to Ben Standing, of course, of The Athletic. What were some of the takeaways from the 3-day minicamp? Obviously, Chase Young was back. That was good news. But who stood out, if anybody?
Well, look, I mean, at a situation like this, you know, there's no tackling, right? There's no real hitting. So a lot of the line play, things with the defense are a little bit hard to gauge. But when you watch the wide receivers, they throw the ball, they catch the ball. You can kind of see that play out to some degree as you want. And you see how just deep they are at receiver. Curtis Samuel wasn't even out there, and they had a lot of guys that – I just mean deep from the perspective of there were players – who, you know, even just last year, we might have been thinking, oh, could this player be the third receiver or get some real playing time? And now we're just wondering whether they're even going to make the team. And I think that's going to be really interesting. The third receiver between, like, Cam Sims, Adam Humphries, Deombie Brown, how that shakes out, I think is going to be another, you know, really fun thing to watch this when we get to training camp in the preseason. And I think on the flip side, the secondary really had the edge over the receivers, over the passing game the last 2 days in camp in particular. Benjamin St. Juice, the third round, one of their two third-round picks, really a one day in particular had, like, I don't know, three or four deflected passes. He's got that size and length. He really kind of impressed me. Ron Rivera said, look, you know, the defense kind of, they've been going head-to-head with these guys for 8 days in a row at that point. They kind of know what's coming, so don't go too crazy. But I thought he stood out. And then sort of the same thing with the secondary, you know, particularly at safety. There are a lot of, like, safety is a position we've been talking about forever. It's like the Spinal Tap-up drummer situation for this team. It doesn't matter what happens every year. there's something, there's always some sort of a hole or an issue. And we'll see what happens. Still no Landon Collins. But they do seem to have a lot more viable options right now. Bobby McCain had a couple interceptions on the last day of camp. Obviously, Cam Curl continues to stand out. There's some guys behind them. So I thought that was another position where, like, the depth that's overall on this roster at a lot of different spots is notable. Not saying they have all pros everywhere, but, like, they have a lot of guys who are like, wow, I'm not sure how that player, who normally I would think makes this team, actually does it this time.
I don't know if you've done this already. I haven't caught up on all of your stories from last week. And I can't wait to read your latest on the team name. But typically, you know, as we approach training camp, and you've done this before, we all end up doing a segment on it, and that is there going to be a surprise cut? Is there going to be a surprise guy not making the team, either cut, you know, during training camp or final cuts? I mean, last year we sort of had a couple of them. Sean Davis was a surprise. We would have never guessed that at this point. Adrian Peterson, we would have never guessed at this point. It always happens. It's inevitable. Give me your best guess right now on a surprise cut and or trade. I'll throw that in there as well.
Gotcha. Well, like I said, I mentioned receiver. Like, I don't necessarily know that it would be a surprise with some of these guys, but look, you know, Steven Sims was the starting slot receiver last year. Yeah. So, you know, at the same point, they've now sort of added a bunch of other guys. So I don't have him making my 53. I actually just did on my new podcast episode. The entire episode is about 53-man projections. It just kind of went through the whole roster. Yeah. So guys like that make, you know, Kelvin Harmon too, a guy who was a starter in 2019. It seems like it could be an uphill climb for him to make the roster if they keep only six. So I think those are a couple of guys to keep an eye on. I think safety is interesting. Like, I'm not like, I mean, between Landon Collins, Cam Curl, Bobby McCain, they drafted this kid, Derek Forrest. You also have DeShazer Everett. You know, are they keeping five safeties? Maybe, but, like, you know, that's not always a lock there for sure. And then you look at the offensive line. Like, I can go 10 on the offensive line, right? But if I do that, even by keeping 10, which is probably one more than a lot of teams will keep, I still mean somebody like Keith Ishmael, who they drafted last year, could be on the fence. Tyler Larson, who they signed this year, but he had ties with Rivera from Carolina days. Wes Martin, yeah, sure, it might be easy to say, well, of course you're going to cut that guy, but he was the starter last year, the first few games, and I don't see how he's getting in there. So, you know, it's sort of like that right now. I mean, I don't know if I see like the Adrian Peterson type person, but of course we didn't see that at this point last year. And you know, this is where it gets interesting. The coaching staff's going to have 6 weeks. I'm sure they're going to get away from football, but they have 6 weeks to sort of really contemplate what's going to be important to them when they get to training camp. And that could shape sort of this narrative of like, well, wait, who, you know, is it possible that somebody else that we're not thinking about, you know, doesn't ultimately make the team or gets traded?
My opinion on Landon Collins is I'm not taking PFF's grade as gospel. I saw moments from Landon Collins last year before he got hurt. I didn't think he was as terrible as most of the fans think he was. I didn't think he played well, but I didn't think he was horrendous. And the truth is, you know, he didn't have a lot of help early on. But I wonder what they think of Landon Collins. And if you end up getting Bobby McCain looking great and Cam Curl looking great and Derek Force, you already mentioned him because you mentioned him last week as a guy that they really liked. And he was coached by a guy that they mentioned on draft weekend. You know, Luke Fickell and that defensive staff at Cincinnati, that he was very well coached in college. I just wonder if Collins could be the surprise. You know, and by the way, if he's fully healthy, if you could move him for, you know, a fifth or a sixth, something like that.
Yeah, no, it's a wonder. So over the weekend, Joe Gibbs had an event over the weekend for his foundation, and Ron Rivera spoke at it, and they let a few of us know that was happening. And so we went out there and actually had a chance to talk to Rivera. The first time I've talked to him, or any of us have talked to him face-to-face since the 2020 NFL Combine. So that was interesting just from that perspective. But I don't even know how we got onto the topic of the linebackers and safeties, but we did. And he started talking about that Buffalo big nickel position that Cam Curl was playing last year before Landon Collins got the injury and then Curl moved to strong safety. And Rivera talked about that. He first says, he mentions that Kalik Hudson is somebody that they're looking at there. I don't presume he meant the start, but just looking at, which is interesting, one, because we haven't heard of anything mentioned of of Hudson on the defensive side.
They liked him, though, last year. I remember hearing they really liked him. They loved his aggressiveness. They loved him as a tackler. It's one of those guys that I've sort of kept an eye on to see if this is a guy that can be more than just a really good special teams guy.
Right, right. And then
so where
Rivera,
did he go with that?
Well, so then he went into talking about Landon Collins and sort of the idea of that Landon Collins, it's a position Landon Collins has also played. And this is, he said, why people sort of get confused about the idea of Landon Collins playing linebacker, because when you're playing that spot, you're sort of playing, you know, closer to the line of scrimmage, and that Landon Collins has already done that, but you need somebody at that position to also be able to play, you know, back, you know, towards the back. So you want to figure out a way to get, you know, if you have multiple safeties to play, you want to do that. But my point was just that it was interesting that just the name. One, Hudson's a name we hadn't been hearing about at all. So if they're actually thinking of him for a larger role, perhaps, well, okay, well, down to your point of, well, wait, what does this mean for Landon Collins? Could that mean that, you know, possibly something could happen? And the fact that, like, you know, while Jack Del Rio had recently said that Landon Collins would play safety, not linebacker, when Ron Rivera was asked about Landon Collins saying that he was definitely not going to be a linebacker, Rivera, this was a few weeks ago, said that's Landon speaking on behalf of Landon. He didn't say that was what he thought. And then he brought it up again now to a certain degree, not that he would be playing linebacker, but just that he's saying, hey, well, this position is sort of akin to that. So I don't necessarily know that it means much of anything, but it's just interesting, you know, what are the names, who comes to mind when Ron Rivera starts talking about these topics that have to be notable? And he came up with those two guys, one who's never mentioned and the other one who really is not mentioned as a box. He's not mentioned as that big nickel position typically. So, you know, all of it's interesting. And look, Cam Curl is going to be the one out there going into training camp, playing with the starters at strong safety because Collins will still be recovering. So he's definitely going to get a long, long look at that spot. And, you know, he obviously played really well last year.
Ben's going to talk about his column that he just put up on The Athletic. But first, it's time for the cash code. This hour's code word is microphone. Text microphone to 72881 before 9 a.m. for your chance to win $1,000 in the national contest. Message and data rates may apply. That's microphone to 72881. Keep it here all day long at 20 minutes past the hour, especially tune in for your chance to win $1,000 in the national contest. All right, tell everybody about the story that just hit early this morning, written by you and Tariq El-Bashir about Washington's football team name.
Yes, well, as you alluded, it's a month in the making kind of a story. I mean, let's go back to last July, when the team name situation really heats up again, and they ultimately drop Redskins to go to something to nothing for a minute, and then they went to the football team. And as we were going through that process and reporting on it, you know, I started talking to marketing experts about this and learning more about the process. And as somebody who does mock drafts, I started to wonder, could we simulate this process? Could you do a mock version of this? And I got with a branding expert, this group called Metaforce up in New York, and they agreed to do this with us. So we convened a couple of different panels. One was, since Dan Snyder was unavailable, we had former players serve the role of the organization along with you. And basically the point there was to say, here's what's important to us. This is what the organization would be telling a marketing person. What's important? Should the name, what should resonate with the name? Is it something that's local to the area? Is it something that's about the history of the organization? Should it be something completely brand new, like a Seattle Kraken type thing? What's important? And then we take that information and go to another panel, which was sort of the fan panel with the test marketing. And that was a group of 13 different people that I helped assemble. And from that, it was just thinking process out loud. Give us name ideas. Here's what the client is telling us. And this is essentially how the process goes through. Again, very smaller scale deal. And then from there, the branding experts do what they do. They take all the information. They check out the trademarks. They go through all the litany of things. They narrow the list down and come up with names. They came up with names for us. I guarantee most people won't like them because they won't like any of the names. which is sort of the larger story of the larger point of the story. That is that ultimately we talk all the time about the name and the name and the name, but the name, no matter what a name is, it's associated with, are you a winner or are you a loser? And that's the issue on some level, is that no matter what anybody comes up with, how do you do that? How do you come up with a name that's going to be, everybody's going to be going to like, if the team itself is in a struggle as Washington has been over the last 20 years. So it was really a kind of a deep dive into the whole process. It was a lot of fun. Thanks to people like you for helping out.
You know, just sitting here listening to you talk, a couple of things I just thought about. Number one, we didn't have a home game with fans last year. Had we had a normal year last year, it would have been really, really interesting to see what the reaction at home games would have been, you know, especially if we had more home fans than opposing teams fans, which obviously was the issue in the years leading up to last year. Personally, I don't know, you know, what a year plus in time does to it, but last year had in the home opener had fans, there's no doubt after a score you would have heard people singing Hail to the Redskins. No doubt. You know, I still think that there is a significant percentage of the fan base, whether it's sort of a detached part of the fan base because of the losing and the embarrassment, or those that are still fully immersed in it that want the old name back. And last year, what was the home opener? The home opener was the opener, right? Against Philadelphia. If you had had fans, maybe you would have had too many Philadelphia fans in the stadium to really hear it, but you would have had Hail to the Redskins after a couple of those touchdowns in the second half. I wonder what'll happen against the Chargers. The good news, you know, it's funny about Washington's schedule. You know, the NFL did them a favor again this year with their first couple of home games when the season is still, you know, alive, in that they didn't schedule division teams or teams nearby that could invade the park. You know, Chargers fans aren't invading FedEx Field. Their next home game is... Well, they play the Giants on the Thursday night game. So I guess the Giants would be, but then I think it was the Saints. I was looking at this. Remember in 2018, they did Washington a huge favor by opening up with Indianapolis, you know, to give them a chance to, you know, to sell mostly tickets to the home fans, because Washington had become a problem for the league in that, you know, the opposing fans were outnumbering the home fans. But I wonder what that home opener is going to be like against the Chargers. If people are going to, you know, we're a year plus removed from this. We have not had a live game with live fans. You know, part of me, Ben, on this whole thing, it just in thinking it through, Dan Snyder's so obviously reviled and despised in this town. Maybe the most despised non-political figure in the history of the nation's capital. But if he came out and said, you know, we've done all our research. Jason and the group did a lot of research, and we had a lot of discussion, and we did a lot of deep diving. Jason would describe it as a deep dive. And we've decided that we're going to go back to the old name. That's the new name. And if he had 30 Native American, you know, men or women standing behind him, and he said, you know, Chief such and such from the Sioux tribe in South Dakota, you know, he texts me during games. Why the hell's Ryan Kerrigan dropping in coverage? We have done all of our research over the years, and we know what the real feeling of the only people in this discussion think. And we are going back to the old name. It's about the only thing that could actually get people to support him. Because winning big, they'll never give him credit for if it happens under Rivera and company. He'll never get credit for that. There's only one move Snyder has to ever get anybody other than Ivan in Florida to think that he's a good owner, and that is to go back to the old name. Could you imagine if he just came out and said, hey, DC, suck it. This is our name. We'll stay in Landover. We don't give a crap. If he said to the league, if we've got to pay higher taxes on this thing, we'll do that too. It's the only move the owner has. I'm not suggesting it'll happen. It'll never happen. I'm just saying it would be wildly popular if he did it among a significant percentage, if not at least a small majority of the fan base.
Yeah, I mean, I get your point. I will say, on some level, I think everybody who, you know, even the people who were, while understanding of the negative implications of the name, were sort of not that, like, you know, because you grew up with the name, you kind of just don't think of it in those terms. You kind of weren't like that moved to do anything about it. But once it happened, I think there was probably some sense of relief also, like, okay, this topic that comes up all the time, has been for years, is now finally off the table, and at a minimum we can move forward. I will say also in the article, I did talk to Jason Wright, got updates from him, including, what they've been doing, who they've been talking to, what are they thinking, and was mentioned that, you know, as part of their broad research, you know, they were still speaking with Native American groups and getting insight from them as to what could be. I did not take that to mean going back to the former name, but
that's in play. I'm just saying that if he ever wanted anybody to like him, because you say relief, and by the way, there were people in that organization that told me, you know, there's a bit of relief. Like, they sort of understood that eventually the day would come. But I don't think that there was great relief among a significant percentage of fans. So, you know, ultimately their customers matter, but really the only group that matters in this discussion going back for 20 years, 15 years, however long you want to say it's been a hot topic, are the people that would be offended or not offended, and that is the Native American community, the Indian community itself. Anyway, last question. Right now, what's your guess on timing and what the name would be? Just give me a guess.
I mean, from the timing perspective, it'll be, they won't announce anything from what I gather until the beginning of 2022. I don't know, certain if that's January or March, but somewhere probably in that time frame. Obviously, I'll see how the season goes, but that would be that type of time range is my sense right now. And as far as the name, I mean, obviously that would be impossible for me to guess. I would just say that, you know, one takeaway that we wrote about in the story is it's going to be something more akin, I don't mean this like literally, but something more akin to the Pittsburgh Steelers than the Seattle Kraken. It's not going to be some type of, you know, Toronto Raptor. What's a pop culture reference in the news today that we can take advantage of because kids will like it? It's not going to be that. It does not appear. It'll be something much more of a traditional sense. And I guess also, like, we talk about this from a name perspective, like, what's the, you know, it's going to be the Philadelphia Eagles against the Washington Blanks, but it is much more than that from their perspective. This really is about naming the brand of the organization, because they're going to have a stadium coming, and from that new stadium there'll be tons of events, and the business of the company will expand to some degree beyond just this football team even. And I think from that, like, the name is going to needs to resonate for them beyond just what's on the scoreboard.
Do you have any sense, talking to Ben Standing from The Athletic, you know, they announced recently, I don't know, in the last couple of weeks, I think it was, that, you know, 2021 will be full capacity at FedEx Field. I don't even know what full capacity is anymore. I mean, you know, it's into the 70s, I think, full capacity, 70,000 something, 75,000, whatever it is. Do you have any sense, with the playoff season last year, with a lot of the excitement, you know, that we seem to sense, or optimism, you know, an increased level of optimism going into a season for the first time in a while, do you have any sense as to what they're doing from a ticketing sales standpoint?
No, I do not. I have not, that was not part of my sort of discussion with anybody, even in the recent days. So I don't know. But yeah, I mean, to your point, like, you know, it's hard to separate everything that's happened during the Dan Snyder era, let alone just what happened, like I said, it's almost a year ago that everything started. I mean, look, as somebody who covers this team, right now, this moment in time is the first time, I say this, I'm jinxing the universe here, this is the first time since beginning of last July in which something wasn't happening. Well, there has been something happening with this team. Some of it just random football, but a lot of it was just controversial stuff. It's been a nonstop chaos. And yet, it does feel like there's a positive vibe in the air. You know, and this is even with everything that happened with Dwayne Haskins, right? The guy that people were banking on to be their future quarterback. But Ron Rivera has instilled a lot of positive vibes. Obviously, they did make a playoff run. A lot of their moves this offseason, you know, we'll see how things work out, but they seem to make sense. You got rid of the Bruce Allens of the world. Obviously, that happened even before then. But, like, you know, it seems like adults are running the show as opposed to sort of the clown car that was going on before for much of the last 20 years. And I think put all that – then you have guys like Terry McLaurin, Chase Young, that people can get excited about. So I think you put it all together, it does feel more positive. Now, whether that translates to ticket sales, I think a lot of it, even beyond do people want to support this team like that, it's like what do people – how habits change after – being indoors for a year, being away from people for a year. Yeah. So I think that's a huge thing across the board. But, yeah, it does feel like in general there'll be more positive vibes. So if you told me that, you know, ticket sales went up, I guess I wouldn't be surprised just because despite everything that's gone on, it does feel like there's this optimism, like you mentioned.
Yeah, I think sometimes because we are, you know, for the lack of a better description, sort of inside, we can sort of miss on what the actual impact financially is. I would guess that season ticket sales are, you know, not anywhere near as up as sort of social media would reflect in terms of the optimism about the team. That would be my guess, but I don't know. Thank you. We can talk some hoops next time. You know what is interesting, by the way, about your last comment, as we've seen full capacity hockey and basketball arenas in particular during these playoff games, there have been packed houses. Like, Denver, you know, Phoenix, the Islanders, you know, in some of the hockey games, and there have been some great environments. It's actually been a lot of fun to watch. All right, man. Thanks, as always.
Always appreciate it, sir. Thanks.
All right. Ben Standig, at Ben Standig on Twitter. Subscribe to The Athletic. You can read his latest story on the name. And that's what I want to ask right now. I'm just curious. Right now, on the new name, you know, let's just say that sometime in early 2022, we're going to get the answer on this. Where does the name right now, a year later, essentially coming up on a year later, where does it rank for you in importance when discussing this team? And I'll give you a scale, all right? 0 to 5. 0, you don't even give a crap about it anymore. You don't care what they're called. 5, it's still a very important issue for you how this gets resolved. And you can certainly elaborate on your answer as well. Where is the name issue for you? 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. 5, on a scale of 0 to 5, 5, still very important. The most important thing for you as it relates to this franchise. 0, you just can't even summon up the energy to care anymore. Or somewhere in between. And why? 301-230-0980. Kevin Sheehan Show. Team 980, team980.com. We are also on the Odyssey app.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
On a scale of 0 to 5, 0, you don't care that much at all. 5 being it is the most significant thing in your mind as it relates to the Washington football team. Where are you on the new name? Ben just wrote a story for The Athletic. He also suggested that by, you know, early 2022, they'll have the answer and it will be implemented for the 2022 season, whatever the new name is. Let me just say that I really thought for years that I would be majorly impacted as a fan by the decision to move on from Redskins and any new name. I understood the risk in the team, and I guarantee you Jason Wright understands the risk. I'm sure he views it as an opportunity as well, but with any major brand change, you better win quickly, it could be ultimately disastrous, especially when you've had an 80-plus year brand that had, you know, a pretty rabid and passionate consumer following. They call that, you know, consumer emotional detachment. And, you know, for me, I think I was already becoming less enthused because of the losing and the embarrassing behavior over the years. But the name hasn't impacted me as much. You know, I can't say how I'm going to feel when the new name is revealed. You know, it's very possible if it's something that just sounds stupid, you know, like, you know, the Command or the Defiance or something like that, or I can't stand Red Wolves. To me, that sounds like a kid's team's name, that maybe I'll feel more differently and more passionately about it. But right now, for me, the name issue is like a one. For me, it's all about, can this organization actually start to become relevant again in the NFL? You know, can it get back to the point where it is playing for the postseason every year, playing in meaningful games in January, being in a big spot in mid to late January on Fox on a Saturday night, you know, round two game? How about let's get to round two for the first time since 2005? It's been 16 years since they've played past the wild card weekend. That's much more important to me. That's going to get me back, is if they're doing it, they're doing it successfully, and they're doing it with a level of class that, you know, doesn't embarrass, which is what, you know, this organization has done for many, many years. All right, 0 to 5. 0, the name issue is a zilch for you right now. 5, it's the most significant thing, or somewhere in between. Let's start with John. John in Ellicott City. Go ahead, John.
Good morning, Kevin.
Hi, John.
A double-edged answer, because when it first came out, I was passionate and furious that the name was being changed, because I thought we were strong-armed into changing the name. And now I'm with you that I don't really care much anymore about it because I don't have a vote in it anyway. And it's a done deal. Everything that you just said leading up to this is perfectly summarized how I feel. You know, I was around when the Redskins were a great organization. They were winning. So for me, that name has a lot of passion to it. But for a lot of our fan base, the last 20 years, the name probably is more of an embarrassment. So I think that maybe, depending upon the age group you're talking to, the answer could change. You know, if I'm in a conversation as to why it changed, I'm pretty passionate about, I think it was for all the wrong reasons. And I think we were strong-armed into it. But now, it doesn't really matter. I just like to see the organization start winning again and everything that you just said.
Yeah, look, this was a highly debatable, you know, topic, even though, you know, the side that wanted the name removed years ago never wanted a debate because none of the data supported their position. I'm sort of with you. Now, you know, it's funny, as you were talking, I was thinking to myself, what if this coming season, or 2 years from now, and they're the Sea Dogs, or they're the Red Wolves, and they're in the NFC Championship game, and it's, you know, they're in that 6 p.m. Fox, late January, winter outside, heavyweight matchup with, you know, let's just say it's Tampa and Brady again. Or let's even go one further and say it's a matchup with the Cowboys in the NFC Championship game. And there they come on, and Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, and they're talking about the Cowboys and the Red Wolves. I'll be honest with you, just that repulses me just thinking about it. It makes me sick if that's where we end up. Now, at the same time, I'll be thrilled if they ever play in that game again. It's been, as we know, 30 years. Drew, go ahead.
Hey, Kevin, thanks for taking my call. It's a zero. This kind of goes along the lines with, like, things I do not care about, the stadium deal, winning off the field. I don't care if Gary Clark's in the Hall of Fame. For once, I would just like to win 11 games, be relevant. And just for the – you kind of made me laugh because you said the thing about the Red Wolves. My daughter's lacrosse team is called the Blue Bulldogs, so I'm right there with you on that. So
yeah,
team's an embarrassment. What's it been, 30 years since we've been in an NFC Championship game? I think yes. We're one of, like, two or three teams in the last 30 years that hasn't gone that far. So do not care. Win some football, be respectable.
But Drew, so I'm with you, okay? I'm with you. However, what I just described 2 years from now, okay, it's January 2023, and they're in the NFC title game against the Cowboys, and Joe Buck and Troy Aikman come on and say, it's the NFC title game on Fox, the Dallas Cowboys and the Washington Red Wolves. At that moment, it's going to hit me. I'm going to be like, seriously? That's really what it is?
I think you're going to have to lighten up on the LSD, because if Washington's in the championship game, I want whatever you're taking, because it's not going to happen. They're going to go 7-9. Snyder's going to screw the team up again somehow. So I appreciate your optimism.
All right. Thanks, Drew. William, Sabah, Lou, Rodney, Chip, Ricardo, Stan Holt. I'll get to your calls when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980, team980.com. We're also on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Presented by Window Nation. Did you agree with the Jokic, the Joker ejection last night from last night's Suns-Nuggets game? Fortunately, 84.1% of you got it right. That was a ridiculous flagrant two. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. On a scale of 0 to 5, 0, you couldn't care less. 5, it's the most significant thing when thinking about the Washington football team, and that is the name, which 2022 should be out sometime early 2022. Where are you and why? Go quickly, because I want to get through all of you, and we got 2.5 minutes to do it. Sabah, go ahead.
I'm a 5+, okay? Because as long as Hooters is still around, there's no reason the Redskins should change. And if you change the name, you didn't help a single soul. Not one Native American has helped by changing the name. It just hurts us. There'll always be the Redskins. Never, ever change it. And the reason I wouldn't change it is because the reason they're making us change it. It's just a virtue signal. Do not change it.
Well, to support your point, Native Americans, by significant majority, did not think that it should be changed. Thank you, Sabah. William in North Carolina, go ahead.
Hey, I give it about a 3 because I think we all need some type of identity. But I think that if the Redskins change their name to the Washington Pelicans and they win, like Al Davis said, win, baby, win. That's all that we want. Thanks. Mm-hmm.
Well, the Powder Puffs would be an interesting way to go. That would be mocked mercifully and for a while. I don't know if I'd like that. I'd just go with Washington FC. That's what I've said all along, and just stick with Washington as the brand. Lou, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, Kevin? How you doing?
I'm good, Lou.
I would say I need some kind of name in order for me to, you know, to keep buying your product. You know, you selling me something without a name is just kind of a little weird. So we need to have some type of name. So I think it's important to have the name. I mean, I know you want to, you know, you want. I mean, the majority of the fans, they want us to be, you know, good and you know, keep winning and things like that. But I just need that name.
All right. So where is it on a scale of 0 to 5 for you in importance?
Four and a half.
Okay.
I just need that.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Lou. Good to hear your voice again. Rodney, go ahead.
What's up, Kevin? It's like a 2 or 3. It's funny. In this particular instance, I feel like follow the money. The name stuff was not important until FedEx and Nike started saying they was going to pull that
Pepsi
money out of there. He was not going to change that name whatsoever. So, again, like you said, if you win, it could be the Washington can't get rights as long as they win. That's the bottom line.
Right. Well, if it's the Washington can't get rights in that NFC title game when they finally get there against somebody, it's going to seem weird, that's for sure. Chip, quickly, go.
Kevin?
Chip.
Good morning, Kevin. They can name them the Washington Misfits. I don't care. I really don't. It's zero. Because when I get together with my family and friends and somebody I just met, if they ask me what I'm doing on Sunday, I'm going to tell them I'm watching the Redskin game.
Right. But no one else is going to call them that except for some of you. And, you know, it's hard for me to even get used to it. Ricardo, you got 5 seconds. Go. 0 to 5. Where are you on the name thing?
Hey, Kevin, I'm on the 3. I'm on the 3, and I still think it's a racial issue as far as who likes what name. But it's funny to me that you have controlled. Okay, what about you still rooting for the Turtles, which is one of the dumbest named Turtles, but you still repulsed about the Red Wolves. Come on. Seriously, Kevin.
Actually, just so you know, my experience, it's very anecdotal. I actually think more African-American Washington football fans are upset about the name than white Washington football fans. It totally anecdotal. I have not done any sort of research on that. Thanks to Ben Standing. Thanks to Mark Zuckerman, who joined us on the show today. Thanks to Brendan for producing this show today. Stay tuned. Travis is up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.